So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your light, Lord, that just shines in our hearts and into our lives, Lord, and that, God, that you have come, Lord, to shelter us and to lead us, Lord, into that safe place in your presence. Thank you that we can just declare, Lord, this morning that this is a safe place, God, because of your presence and because you are here. We thank you for your angels, Lord, around this place. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are the everlasting arms around us, Lord, and underneath us. And that, again, this morning, you just speak your grace over us, God. We receive that invitation for us to come just as we are. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, God, for your awesomeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're not seated already, thank you, band. Thank you for just doing such an awesome job leading us into the Lord's presence. I just want to ask Eugene, we just had some feedback now from the Himalayan Outreach or Conference, but we're two of our own brothers going there, Eugene and JP. So I just asked Eugene to give us some feedback from an insider, one who was there, and just what he experienced, what the Lord has laid on his heart.
Fortunately, Heinrich asked me about 15 minutes ago, so I'll try to be short, because if he gave me more warning, he wouldn't have time to preach. So, I just made a couple of notes. We went to India. It's the northern parts of India. It's close to the border of Nepal. And it's just amazing how faithful God is. I mean, the week before we went, there was a massive earthquake, and it didn't impact us that bad. We didn't experience the earthquake ourselves, but when we went on the outreach, there was a lot of people that attended where some of the villages that was next to them is no more. The village is just gone, and it's really, this earthquake has done a lot of harm in a lot of people's lives. And then the week after we came home, there was another earthquake. So God just really was so faithful to really protect us in this whole outreach. There's just one scripture that comes to mind in Acts 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I would just like to encourage you all that it's more blessed to give. Every time that we give, we actually receive much more than what we would ever think. So we were a team of 20 pastors and business guys that went to the Himalayas. And on that side, there was about 40 people that attended, reaching from business owners to pastors to missionaries that came from Bhutan, from Nepal, from India, a certain area called Nagaland in India. So there was quite a wide variety of people that came. But just to see their commitment, there's some of them that traveled literally for 4 days to come and spend a weekend with us, and then 4 days back to the congregation or the area that they come from. And the theme of the conference that we had was a biblical perspective on suffering, persecution, and martyrdom. And I wonder how many people in our country would travel for 4 days to come and listen to a conference about this. But in their country, that is a reality. People lose their lives. They get excommunicated from their families when they come to Christ. And one can really see just the reality of Christ in their lives and how they follow Jesus like you've never seen before. And also at the conference, we had 3 areas that we concentrated on: student ministry, church planting, and business in ministry. And it was really, really awesome just to see how the people responded. And I'm just going to share 2 or 3 small or massive testimonies. Now we're sitting in this business meeting, and you sort of wonder how, if they can understand, because some of them, English is not their first language, and we'd have a big conversation. Some of them are good, very good at English. One of the guys was studying English. Some of them can't speak a lot of English, but there was this one guy, Ramji. So whenever we had this long conversation, he would look up in his Bible. And we first, okay, he's probably reading his Bible. And then he would come up in his Bible with an exact verse in Scripture that summarizes the whole thing that we just said. So Ramji was like the walking Bible at this conference. One of the guys that attended the conference, he passed on a couple of years ago. He died in a bus accident, and he was declared dead. And then a day after, he woke up in the morgue between all the dead bodies, and God just basically told him, your time is not up. You still have a lot of work to do here on earth. And you know, he's just passionate. He lives somewhere in Nepal, and he's just going full out for God. Some of the missionology students, they literally go out on outreaches every weekend. They'll take one weekend off in a month, and then they would go and walk the Himalayas, and they'd go to tribes that nobody has ever heard of Christ. They would walk with a generator on their back, with a massive screen to go and show the Jesus film up in the Himalayas. And some of those areas, some of the people, 150 kilometers you have to walk just to get there. So that is just out of this world, their commitment and how they follow Christ. There's some of those tribes that they thought was extinct. 40 years ago was the last that they've seen this specific tribe, and now in January, for the first time, this tribe emerged out of the forest. So there's so many people that hasn't heard about Jesus. And this morning, my challenge is, how are we reaching the lost? And there's the scripture that Jesus, or these words that Jesus said in Matthew 9:37-38. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And just lastly, if the first thing that comes to mind is, I'm not going to be able to afford a mission, I mean, you don't have to go overseas, we can start here. But if you are called to go to a mission overseas, God provides. I ask God to provide, and literally everything from the plane ticket to all the funds, he just provided through amazing ways. So I just want to encourage you, there's no challenge to God. God, as Tina said, he's got the storehouse. And if we ask, he will give.
Thanks, Eugene. Appreciate that feedback. And we want to, again, just thank you for your prayers, praying for the guys that went. And yeah, maybe I might just introduce myself again. My name is Heinrich. It's been a while since I was up here and just ministering the word together with my wife, Nikki. We've been away for a few weekends ministering in different places, and it's such a privilege to be back and to be able to just experience the warmth of love and of family, and being able to share the word of God together with people who love the Lord passionately. We had an amazing leadership weekend. I mean, those of you guys who were there, I'm sure you enjoyed it. It was an amazing time just coming together and again just speaking about the purposes of God and what it is that he has called us to do. And the reason why I wanted Eugene also to share with us a little bit about his experience is because I just began to realize something again as I was traveling to Malawi. We were there for about 7 days or so and just ministered to a whole bunch of pastors over in Malawi as well. And we experienced a lot of the same things that Eugene and the team experienced in the Himalayas. And that is that there is such an open door that the Lord is giving us as shofar to make a massive impact in the lives of believers. And it's not something that we have earned. It's not something we have deserved. But it's simply the Lord's favor. He comes in and he opens up doors for us. He comes and he positions us in places that we are able to really come alongside other believers. Whether those believers, like the churches in Malawi, they've become shofar churches now, or whether like in the Himalayas or in China, where a massive door has opened up for us, whether they carry the shofar name or not, our desire is to come alongside the body of Christ and to help them. And what I've just experienced again, and I'm sure many of you have seen this as well as you were traveling through other parts of Africa and even going to other parts of the world, is that we have our challenges here in South Africa. We definitely do. But we also have a lot to be thankful for. And especially in the church community that we are in, the Lord has given us a lot. He has really blessed us. He has really given us peace in our nation. And we can't take that for granted. Not every nation is blessed with the kind of peace that we are experiencing, even though we have crime and we have a lot of things going on. In comparison to the rest of the world and some of the chaos going on in terms of wars, civil wars and upheavals, we are blessed. We are able to come together in the morning like this morning and worship the Lord freely. You are able to carry your Bible, any number of Bibles that you want to, without being persecuted and being thrown into prison for that. Now that in itself is a massive blessing, a great blessing. And with that blessing, of course, comes responsibility as well. And this morning, I want to share with us a little bit about just who we are as a family. Earlier in the year, I shared with us, the Lord calls us as a family of believers. You know, we can serve the Lord by ourselves on our own, and we'd be able to love Jesus and be loved by Him. But God calls us to go together as a family. He calls us to be surrounded by people that are younger than us, people that are the same age as us, and people that are older than us naturally and spiritually for a specific reason. Because He wants us to grow as a family. He wants us to go together towards a certain destination that He has for us. And what I've discovered, sharing these principles with the guys in Malawi and many other places, I realized that I have a sneaky suspicion that many of us here, we don't even know who we are. We don't even know what it is that makes us who we are. We don't even know what it is that we have, what God has given us. And so from time to time, especially towards the middle of the year, we just want to take some time out and talk a little bit about that question that I left with you guys a few months ago when I ministered the last time around. We spoke about the questions that God asks us. We said that very often we get stuck on our own questions. You know, questions human beings ask God. When we're in trouble and we're suffering and things are going tough, Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? Or God, where are you in this situation? Or God, why is this person doing this to me? Or why was I born into this family? Or a whole bunch of questions that we ask God. But the more challenging and the more liberating question is not the question we ask God, it is the questions God asks us. And He asks us those questions not because He's confused, but because He wants us to understand where we're at. And if we look at the Bible, the first question God asked human beings was, Adam, where are you? Not because God was looking for him and couldn't find him, but because He wanted Adam to know that, Adam, something happened between us, and I want you to know that things have changed, things are not the same anymore. And then He asks him, what have you done? And what is amazing is, if you look at the Old Testament, the first question God asks, or the first question that gets asked in the Bible, is a question asked by God to man. Where are you? Yesterday I discovered that the first question in the New Testament is a question that a man asks about God. Where is he? So isn't that interesting? In the Old Testament, the question is, man, where are you? Do you know that you are separated from me? Do you know that you are lost without me? Do you know that the distance has crept in? And then the New Testament, there's this search from man's heart coming. Where is the one that we have heard will be born? Because we want to worship him. And this is the reality that God comes in. And God comes and He infuses us with His life. He comes and He answers those questions that very often, if you spoke about it this morning, that bone that you have, and some of us have bones and questions buried so deep in our hearts, we don't even know they're there, except when we're very angry and it comes out, or we're very upset, we're very traumatized, and then those things come out. But God knows the questions that you have. He knows the challenges that you have, and He has an answer for each one of them. And I ask you this question, I sort of left you there last time around. What on earth are you doing here? Remember the question God asked Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? And I hope that you guys thought about that. I hope that you prayed about that. I hope that you are continuing to pray about that. Because that question can keep you busy for the rest of your life. What is my purpose? What am I doing here? And just speaking to many people, I've discovered some amazing things. I've discovered that some of you have discovered amazing things about your purpose. There's a family that have discovered that the furniture that they were able to acquire over the last few years, the purpose for that furniture is to give it away to an orphanage, the house that we're starting in Mzamo, Kipwe Kids House. They just gave all their furniture away because they're moving to a different nation. So we don't want to sell the stuff. We want to bless you. We want to bless the orphans with it. I spoke to someone and she discovered that at one stage she was feeling frustrated with her work. Like, God, what am I doing here? And the Lord answered the question, showed her, but there are people around you that need to get to know me. And one person gave her life to the Lord and that had a ripple effect. That one person invited her sister and a friend to church. They got saved. And now there's a small group going at the place where she's working. Those people aren't coming to our church, but we are able to disciple them. Isn't that amazing? There's a purpose that she has discovered. Some have discovered this beautiful home for boys, I think in Strand somewhere. And a small group discovered that we can make a difference in the lives of these kids. And they're partnering with one another. They're building kitchen cupboards and they're giving clothes and they're giving time. People are discovering a lot of stuff that the Lord has placed in their heart. And I hope that you are wrestling with that question. God, why am I in Somerset West? God, why am I 40 years old with three kids doing the job that I'm doing? God, why am I single? Why am I married? Why am I where I am? God has the answer to that question. And it is an exhilarating journey to discover it. To discover with God His purpose for your life. But I want to take the question a little bit, bring it closer to where we are as a family. Because the one question is, what did God call us as individuals to do? And I want to encourage you, pray about it. Speak to one another about it. Ask each other. What did God call you to do here? Because if you don't come up with that answer, somebody else will. Somebody else will tell you what you need to do. Your boss, your kids, they will tell you. Family will tell you. And we can't afford other people to tell us what we need to do. We need to discover that from God. Because God has created us with a purpose. But besides us as individuals, God has also called us as a family to do some stuff. Okay, and I want to share that with you. And if you're visiting us, bear with me. It's a little bit of a family talk, but I believe it's going to bless you as well. Because if you do not understand what we believe God has called us to do, there's a very big chance that you can be very frustrated with us. You won't understand some of the things that we are doing. Why are we doing the stuff that we are doing? So I'm going to take you to the very beginning, and that is just our name. Now, our name is an interesting one, Shofar. You've probably thought about that. Why the name Shofar? Couldn't have just been any other name that is a little bit easier. You know, at the beginning you say to people, I'm in Shofar. Like, you're like, yes, like, couldn't they have just chosen an easier name? Shofar, Shofar, Chauffeur, Shofar so good. Lots of different names. But there's a reason why God gave us that name. And the Lord has given each one of us a name. You have a name that is special. We spend a whole weekend talking about the meaning of our names. Our legacy seminar. I want to encourage you to do that when it comes up. Because there's power in a name. There's a lot of destiny that lies in a name. Remember Jabez? His mother called him the one that brings pain. Hey, you want to be called that? Hey, you that causes pain. Come here. So he had to wrestle with God and he cried out to God. Say, God, I don't want to cause pain. Bless me, enlarge my territory. He wrestled with his identity. Same with Benjamin, who's called Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow, until Jacob came and Jacob changed his name to Benjamin, son of joy. Shofar is a special name, not because we are special, but because God gave it to us. That's why that name is special. That's why I carry that name with pride when I go, I belong to Shofar, because God gave us that name. And it's a name that, obviously, it's a Hebrew for the ram's horn. I think we all know that now. The ram's horn, there were different sizes and shapes. It's not about the size, not about the shape. Okay? It is simply about the fact that it is symbolic of something the Lord has called His people to do. I'm going to blow this.
Hope I get it right.
something like that. And whenever that the shofar was blown, that call represented something. All right, and so I want you to understand that when we say that we are part of Shofar Somerset West, we are talking about a sound, we are talking about a call, we are talking about a specific noise that God has called us to make. And it's important for you to understand this because everything we do revolves around that. Everything we are, everything we do revolves around what we believe God has called us to do. Now, just a few of them are up there for you. It was used, just go back to the previous one. The previous slide. Yeah, it was used when the shofar was blown. It was used to mobilize God's people. When there was a time of war, when the troops had to come together, the shofar was blown. And when they heard it, like they did in Nehemiah's time, the call went out to say to them, fight for your sons, fight for your wives, fight for your children. It is time to advance the kingdom of God. And so when we say we're part of shofar and we're praying for the Van der Veens going to plant the church in Utrecht, it's important for you to know what we are praying for. When we pray for them to go and plant a church, to go and plant a shofar there, we are praying with them and trusting God with them that when they go there, everything they do will be a call that is calling people to God's kingdom. Not to a man's kingdom, not to a man's plan, but to God's kingdom. And that the reality is this, that if we pray like Jesus taught us to pray, let your kingdom come. That is not a passive prayer. That is a prayer that puts you into conflict with another kingdom. That is the reality. We are not at peace, even though it looks like it, especially in Somerset West very often. We are not at peace. We are finding ourselves in a spiritual conflict, in a battle of the ages, and the prize of this battle, of this war, the bounty or the loot, the spoils of war are the souls of men. That is what the battle is about. And so when we say we plant the shofar, we blow the shofar, we think about shofar, we're thinking about a call for God's people to come and to advance His kingdom. To advance His kingdom on a Sunday as we come together, to bring your word of encouragement, to bring your song, to do the PowerPoint, to help with the ushering, but to take that into your Monday and into your Tuesdays, you form part of the neighborhood watch, or you go to the soup kitchen, or you form a Bible study at work, or you pray for the kitchen lady at work who's lost a baby, or whatever it is, that God's kingdom will come there. But it's a call for us to arise and to wake up and to say we will not be passive. The shofar represents the opposite of passivity. And so at times you might be frustrated with us because we will always hold before you something to do. And we do not make apologies of that. Because God calls us to be active. The beauty of this church and the beauty of being part of this church for so many years is the fact that so many and such a lot of what we are doing is happening because of so many people partnering with us. Like yesterday again, we had almost 40 of our leaders spending a weekend coming together with other people. Now, that is such a blessing because you've got other stuff to do. You can go surfing. Maybe a little bit difficult now, this time of the year, but I know hardcore surfers, they're not being put off by the weather. But there's a lot of other stuff that you could do, but you spend the whole weekend thinking about how to advance the kingdom of God. One of the reasons we are so blessed and proud of this church is because it's not a church where the office does everything. This is a church where people have responded to the call to say that we together will advance God's kingdom. It's a call to turn to God. So we will talk about repentance and we will talk about it often. Because God calls us. When the shofar gets blown, it is a call to turn back to God. People get upset with the whole notion of repentance and I can't understand it. Because repentance leads to life. Peter says, repent for so that times of refreshing can come. If you know what the outcome of repentance is, you will not shy away from repentance. You will not see it as something difficult or something hard or something that is condemnatory. No, you will find it liberating. Because what is repentance? It is simply just turning back to God. And that is a daily process. It's a daily process. Turning back to God. Turning from my desires and my dreams. And the last few days were days of repentance for me. And I know the whole process of repentance. I know that when God comes and God calls us back to Himself, You can very often get stuck with the place where you're at because you feel God is so far away. His standard is, there's a reason why God is the holy God and we are not. There's a reason why he's the awesome one and we are not. And sometimes we can get stuck in the place where God is calling us from. We feel sorry for ourselves and we get condemned and we want to beat ourselves up. And that is not the purpose of repentance. Repentance, the purpose of repentance is for God to say to us, I'm not just calling you to myself, I'm coming to get you. I'm giving you my grace to enable you to get up from where you are and to walk towards me. And I just experienced this again last week. You know, there's some things in my life the Lord just challenged me on again. As a husband, as a father, some changes I have to make in my life. And I know what happens in the flesh. You get defensive and you want to make excuses and all of those things. And yet the liberty lies in saying, I was wrong. Forgive me. And then to get to the place where you can understand that God comes and he enables you to worship him now. Because it's not based upon your own deeds. I arrived here on Friday when we had the leadership weekend. And the first thing when I walked in here was someone who was in Stellenbosch at the Awaken conference. And she comes up to me and she says, wow, that was such an amazing conference. Thank you so much for that word that you shared. It was so amazing. I felt like an absolute dog. I felt so bad because I was, at that moment, I wasn't feeling too good about myself. I'd messed up a little bit and I was just like, oh, man, I feel like a hypocrite. I don't know how many of you have been there. Yeah? And then I just realized again, the call to repentance is the call to walk away from myself and my obsession with myself and to look to the cross of Jesus Christ and to understand that the fact that he uses me is in any case because of him and because of his grace. And that I can worship him and not feel, you know, the first song we're singing, I'm like, oh, I'm the pastor, but I'm going to stand at the back. So I just like, oh, I don't feel like it. I'm like, oh, I feel so bad. I feel so condemned. I just realized, but the shofar is ringing in my ear, the call to worship him, the call to turn back to him, the call that says, but it is because of what he has done. That's why I can come to him. And then to step into that place was so liberating. So I just want to encourage you that when it comes, when the call comes, you hear the call of the shofar. And if God graces us with breath in our lungs, the call to repentance will always go out from this platform. There will always be a call to repent because it is a call that leads us to life. Not to sin, not to condemnation, but to life. There's this beautiful verse in the Old Testament that we all know very well where God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He gave that word in the midst of the people repenting. I find that encouraging. He isn't obsessed with the sin, but he is obsessed with us coming back to his heart. The shofar also, when it gets blown, the shofar was used to anoint people. Like Samuel would go to David, he would take the shofar, he would take the oil and pour it into the shofar. They had a little prop. What's a prop? A plug at the bottom made of animal skin. And they would take that off and they would pour the oil over the person and they would be anointing. Not just, as I always say, is we dab you guys. Eh? You come forward, we pray for you. We dab you a little bit of oil on the forehead. Sometimes it runs down your nose. And some people cry and they put their shoulder against my shirt and then it's all oily. Lekker. But in the olden days, the shofar represented God's anointing. And so when we talk about shofar, we are talking about the fact that we believe God has called us to live consecrated lives. Lives that are set apart for his purpose. And that means that as a dad, you can expect that God has anointed you to be a dad. It's not just something that you do. And we want to partner with you and we want to lay our hands on you. And we want to speak a blessing over you as a dad, as a mom, as a student. And so being part of Shofar, you will always find us making altar calls. We will always be asking you to come forward to respond. Why? Because we believe in what God has placed in your life. And we believe that if we anoint you, we partner with God's call upon your life. And we want you to understand you're not just a normal human being taking up oxygen. You're not just a pew warmer. You're not just someone who goes through the religious motions. But no, you've been called by God. And so we believe that God places an anointing and a call upon our lives like he did for Samuel. They can walk into a situation where one young man's entire family sees him simply as a shepherd. They don't even invite him to the talent show to become the next king. They forget about him completely. But God anoints Samuel's eyes to say to him, that's the one I want you to anoint. And I believe with all of my heart that Shofar has a calling to release people into their destinies, to release people into what God has called them to do. That next to you and behind you, in front of you, sit people with awesome destinies, incredible destinies. And God has placed a calling inside of us to release it over one another. Let's go to the next slide. God has called us as well to use the shofar when it's blown to identify and to usher in seasons of God. In the olden days, it was used to call for times of celebration, the different festivals. We know, and Eugene read the verse, the season that we are in prophetically, it's not difficult to figure out. Jesus said it. He said, we are in harvest season. I know many of us are in different seasons of our lives, but there's one season you don't have to worry about, or you don't have to doubt whether you're in that season or not. It's harvest season. The harvest of souls. And so when we run the harvest campaign, it's not a seasonal thing, okay? It was actually the Lord coming to us as shofar and calling us again to repent and to say, I want you to turn back to my season. I want you to turn back to my heart. The Lord's heart is for each one of us here to grow in our love for him, to understand how much he loves us, to know that he has conquered the enemies of our souls, to know that he wants us to walk in freedom, to know that he has a purpose and he has a destiny for our lives. That is his heart for us. But even beyond that, God's heart is for the empty chairs around us. His heart is for those who do not experience what we are experiencing this morning, who don't know that God loves them, who don't know that there's a place where they can live without condemnation, who don't know that there's a place where you can come expose yourself like Debbie did this morning to say that we feel like we're not coping, and know that it is okay to feel like that because God is with you and he surrounds you with people. You can share your weaknesses and other people can be lifted up to experience something of that. The harvest is what's on the Lord's heart. And I want to ask us, you know, this morning I was driving to church. I drove past, I think it's Somerset West Primary, and I saw a banner up there. I think it's Friends Church meeting there. I haven't seen them before. Saw the banner up there. I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus, another church. Thank you, Jesus. Another group of people who are saying, we will do everything within our power to reach this town for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for more people, more laborers. Thank you for answering our prayer to raise up more people who have a heart for the lost. Thank you, God. May every school, may every church building be filled. And even if we have a church in every school building, we still will not have enough churches for all the people in this town. We need laborers. And June and July, we're going to ask all of our small groups, I just want to give you a warning, to pray about where you can go and make a difference in the community. To say, we believe that God has called us to bless this community, to make a difference, but to pray for the lost, to pray for them, to cry out to God to save the people around us. That is what he has placed us here for. And so I want to encourage you, we're going to do that right now. I want you to just take boulders and turn to the person sitting next to you, maybe groups of two or three. We're going to take a few minutes and we're just going to pray for the harvest. Okay, we're going to pray first of all for ourselves. Let's pray that the Lord gives us a heart for the lost. Let's pray that the Lord will come and that he will bless us with his heart for the lost. And then we pray that the Lord will divinely connect us with people who don't know him and enable us to be a blessing to them. So let's just turn to one another and let's pray. Let's take a few minutes and let's just pray for our brothers or sisters who are not yet brothers and sisters in the Lord. As Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, that we are lives that have been changed and have been touched because people prayed for us, God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord God, that you are an awesome God and that you save, Lord. Thank you that for all the lives that you have saved, Lord, this year, that you have touched, Father God. Lord, even in this place, and Lord, by extension through this place, thank you for everyone that has invited someone, God. Everyone who's praying for other people, standing in faith. But we want to agree this morning, Lord God, collectively as a body with every prayer, Lord, that has been prayed for the salvation of mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, friends, colleagues, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are mighty to save. We thank you that we will continue to see salvations, Lord God, that it will increase. We thank you, Lord, we acknowledge that we are in harvest time. And we thank you, Lord, that we can lift up our eyes to the harvest. Thank you that you are raising up all around us, Lord, laborers, Father, each one of us to be a laborer in your harvest, Lord God, and to know that you have given us everything that we need, Father, to enable us to share your love. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We thank you that we, through the eyes of faith, can see our empty chairs filled with people. God will worship you with us, Lord God. Will stand with us in awe of this mighty God. Will stand with us, Lord God, just with a sense of wonder and amazement at how beautiful and how glorious you are. We cannot help but tell of the wondrous things that you have done in Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray for what the Lord is doing. It was so amazing. A third-year Bible school, we could partner with this one student. She had someone that she was busy trusting the Lord for salvation. We could pray together. And it was just amazing to see the difference that happens when we agree with one another. So I want to encourage you in your small groups, continue to pray, stand in faith, have specific names of people that you are holding before the Lord, and agree with one another that the Lord will touch them. I quickly want to read for you our purpose. If maybe you're unsure and you're asking, oh, what is the shofar about? What are we doing here? Our purpose is to reach nations, and I believe most of us know this. Everything that we do here, everywhere else, we believe the Lord has called us to reach nations and generations. It's such a blessing. Yesterday, we could have the church from Nomzamo here, the guys there, mostly Zimbabwean guys, many of their leaders over here as well. And they praying and they seeing awesome things being done. Then one stage, I asked them, so what is your dream for your church? And they're like, we want to be a church that sends out other people to go and plant churches. And I was so just blessed by their heart. This present moment, we're having to support them. This present moment, we've got Paul preaching there. A whole bunch of our guys, Eugene, and a whole bunch of U.S. leaders, guys going there and preaching and ministering to them. But they getting to a place where they're also going to train others and equip others to reach other nations. It's such a blessing what the Lord is doing. He's given us this dream 20 years ago, and we're beginning to see it come to fulfillment through His grace. And the way we want to do that is through discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. That's why we're planting churches in Utrecht, in Europe, because Europe needs Jesus. Amen? It's a dark place. It's not dark as Africa anymore. Europe is a dark place, spiritually speaking. And it needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as South Africa, we received a lot of light from Europe. A lot of godly legacy that came from Europe. And we owe it to that continent to go back to her and to bless her with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why when a couple like the Van der Fians come, we didn't send them a shofar. Well, we are sending them now, but we didn't say to them, we want you to go and plant a church there. They came to us and they said, this is what we feel the Lord is saying. And we're like, wow, okay, so what do we do now? let's go and pray. Let's go and find out. And now we're partnering with them. And that's such a blessing. The Lord has laid it on their heart and we can partner with them. But we believe Europe is needing to be evangelized. And we're partnering with Asia. The guys in Asia, they pumped, they amped, they don't fear death. They are on a mission to get to Europe and to evangelize that continent. And it's such a blessing that the Lord is connecting us with them. Our core values, I just quickly want to share that with you. And this is what we believe, that in everything that we do, this will come across. We're growing in this, but this is our goal, right? This is what we're standing in faith for. This is what we trust in God to make part of our values. We want to make sure that everyone that comes into contact with us, everyone that's part of us, will know that we have a passion for Jesus first and foremost. It's not a passion for the orange flag. It's not a passion for the name shofar. It's a passion for Jesus. And secondary to that, a passion for what Jesus gives us. We love Him with all of our hearts. He's the reason why we exist. The reason why things are happening in our lives is because He's awesome and we are not. And we love Him and we want to serve Him passionately. Part of our core values is to know that we are a blessing to other people. And that's why we want to find opportunities to bless the community around us. I've just now joined our neighborhood watch, and it's such a blessing to be able to be included in the conversation and to know what the needs are. Just because I'm a pastor, and mostly I'm surrounded by saved people. Don't always act saved all the time, but mostly saved people. And so it's a challenge for me. I need to expose myself to people who don't know the Lord. And God wants us as the church to make a difference. So to be able to go to the shelter, to be able to go to help the poorer churches in schools and salary spas, and to have the crash in Mzamu, and to go to the hospitals, that is part of what the Lord has called us to do. We are serving church. And we want all of you guys to know that when you come here, you are valuable and you are important. It's not about us. It's not about us looking good. It's about us serving people with the purposes of God. And we believe that God has called us to be a people of faith. That's why we have people come up here and share their testimonies. This afternoon at 5 o'clock when we come together, if you have a testimony, come and share it with us. Because there's a story, there's something God is doing in your life that is an invitation to other people to say, I also can believe God. I also can trust God to do a miracle in my life. And that's why we take risks often. And you would think, oh, that's such a crazy thing to do. Why are they doing that? Because we believe God has called us to step out in faith. We believe God has called us, even like Eugene said, you can't afford it, to say, I want to go on that mission trip. When you can't afford to buy that church office, to say, we believe God that this is what he's calling us to do. When the medical reports say there's no chance, we say, we believe God still heals. He still delivers. And when sometimes those experiences don't match up, we keep on believing, knowing that God is faithful, knowing that he's a great God. And we believe God has given us a purpose to pursue. And please, I want to ask you, I give this invitation often and people don't take me seriously on it. Here and there, few do. If you have a word and a vision for your company, let us know what it is. We want to go with you. We want to pray with you. We want to get into the Sanlams and the MediClinics and the PSGs. We want to partner with you and trust God to save the CEOs, to save the people around you, to make a difference there where you are. If God has given you a dream for your company, don't carry that dream by yourself. It can be our dream. Together, we can trust God. One can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. We want to partner with you. And just because we hold before you the dreams here from the pulpit doesn't mean your dreams aren't important. But we want to partner with you. So many of you are partnering with us already. You're giving, you're praying, you're at intercession. That is amazing. But give us the opportunity to partner with you as well. Okay, invite us. Okay, we promise you we won't embarrass you at work. We won't go around shandai-shandaying, hitting people with the Bible over the head. Okay? We can just have some coffee and just usher in the presence of God and just smile and be nice. Or go earlier in the morning and anoint your desk or wherever it is you are working. Trust God to direct you and give you purpose, because that is holy ground unto the Lord. But you have to consecrate that ground to God. You have to say to God, God, I'm taking ownership of this. And let us help you. Let us come alongside you. Now, I quickly want to take you just through our discipleship encounters, because I want you to know why we're doing the stuff that we're doing. I'll be done in 10 minutes. Most of you are familiar with this, but I just want to hold this again before you. Okay, our discipleship, why we do what we do is we believe God has called us not just to sit in the pews and not just to sing songs, but to become disciples. Not of Heinrich, not of Theo, not of Shofar, but disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of those things, when the dates come through, and you see there's a program around an encounter, know that our heart is to bless you. Our heart is to equip you. Our heart is for you to be able to rise up. Because those are the things, some of you guys are going to go with the Funerfians, with some other couples planting churches in other places. You need to be able to do that as well. Teach that to other people. Live it. Let it come and flow out of your life. There's a lot of other stuff that we do. We've got marriage prep and enrichment. We've got divorce recovery that we trust in the Lord to start very soon. We've got our business breakfast. We've got our Precorus community service. We've got our Kipwe Kids home for the orphans that we've just bought. We've got our youth evenings. We've got our Inspire to Become skate and surfing club. We've got our leadership weekend where we focus on the gifts of the Father. This weekend it was just passed. We've got the School of the Supernatural that Kurt spoke about already. I want to encourage you, please come to that. We're just going to spend some time in worship. We're going to trust the Lord to release the supernatural over us, to be able to pray for people, see them healed, see them recovered. The Lord give us words of wisdom. We've got ministry training program. that is for people who want to enter into the full-time ministry. Okay, we've got many different stuff. And you'll always see sometimes we sit in the office and we say, yes, like we're busy. And so now June and July, we want to get a little bit less busy. So we can focus again on the basics. You can spend time with your family, spend time together in small groups. But the reason why we do these things is because we want to create an environment where you can grow as a disciple and as a leader. And the verse that I want to leave with you is a verse that's fundamental to who we are as Shofar. Zephaniah 3. And then we're going to worship the Lord again. Zephaniah 3 verse 14 says, sing, O barren. Oh, that's not another verse that says that. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. We believe that the call of the shofar is first and foremost, above any other one, a call to worship. A call, as Zephaniah says here, to sing, to rejoice. He says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Okay, now there's no other way to shout but then to shout out of joy. Why? Because you can be glad and you can rejoice with all your heart. We believe that God has called us as a church family to love the Lord passionately, to love Him with everything that we have. That the way that we watch a rugby match will be a very, very, very dismal reflection of our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. I always compare my passion for the Lord with my passion for rugby. And you've got other passions. I know all of you guys are passionate over rugby. You've got some other stuff, whatever it is. But there is something you are passionate about. And the Lord needs to have that preeminence in our lives. And here we come and we see the Lord says, you can sing, you can rejoice. Why? Because you are awesome? No, because God is amazing. And he goes on to say there that the Lord has taken away your judgments. The New Testament says that Jesus triumphed over every principality and power upon the cross. It says he made a public spectacle of them. I experienced this again just so powerfully this weekend. It was like there was this assignment of condemnation against me. And I had to remind myself of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. My relationship with God is not based upon my own efforts. It's not based upon all the stuff that I do. It is based upon what Jesus has done for me. And if I'm in awe of that, that stirs songs in my heart. That stirs a rejoicing in my heart, what God has done. Jesus has won the battle for me. Amen? He has triumphed on the cross over every spirit of disease, poverty, lust, lack, greed, anger, depression, hopelessness, all of those things, insecurity, bitterness, resentment, offense, all of that has been stripped of its power upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it has power over my life, it is because I allow it to have power over my life. And when I step close to the cross again, and I'm in awe of the cross again, I realize those things are simply there to intimidate. Simply there to try and get me to lose my voice. And I want to share this with you. I believe that there's a contention for our voice. That's why this afternoon we want to create space for us to come and worship God. The devil wants to shut you up. Wants you to be quiet about who God is and what God is doing in your life. But the promise of God is, He's the mighty one. We sang the song. Can we sing that song again if you guys can come? Yahweh, He's the one in our midst. The angel came to Joseph in the middle of the night. And I want to read this verse for you. Where's my Bible? And I'll finish with this. Matthew 1, verse 20. Joseph is in a very difficult spot. Okay? He loves this woman dearly. Wanted to marry her. Then he gets the news that she's pregnant. Like his whole world falls apart. She comes up with this crazy story that it's God's fault. It's God's baby. Okay, now he's got a bigger problem. She sinned and she's crazy. Okay, come on. That was his reality.
The greater reality is this, that he literally has the power of life and death over her. If he chooses not to marry her, she will be stoned, killed, because there's an admission that the child isn't his. If he marries her, he actually says, that child is mine. I choose to marry her. Or he says, I believe this crazy story, which nobody else believes. Nobody else walked around saying, oh, there goes Mary, the mother of the Son of God. Oh, there goes Mary, the lunatic, the liar, the crazy one. People didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He was Joseph the carpenter's son. The guy was silly enough to marry her. What was amazing is that the Bible says, Matthew 1:20-23, and you can go home and read this. I just felt in my heart for us as men, the Lord is wanting to drop this into your spirit. While he thought about these things, Albert Einstein said that we cannot solve our problems by using the same level of thinking that caused them. We cannot solve our problems by using the same level of thinking that caused them. And I felt in my spirit, the Lord is saying to some of us as men here, you are lying awake at night. You are thinking through permutations and implications and things in your life and your family. But you're using human thinking. You're going insane, crazy in your brain. You need what Joseph had there. The angel comes to him and says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He needed that word. Amen. He needed to know this is from God. Guys, you have been called to change the world. You've been called to lead your family with dignity and boldness into God's purpose. You need to cement your heart in what God is saying to you. And if you don't have a word for your wife, for your kids, for your spouse to be, your kids to be, for your work, wrestle with God until the angel comes to you and gives you your word. You need it. I'm going to recommend a book to all of us as guys, The Power of a Praying Husband. Right? If you're not praying for your wife, get the book, use it, pray for her. Stuff the Lord is wanting to reveal to you. The angel comes and he says, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God in your midst, Emmanuel. Shofar will be nothing if God is not in our midst. We'll be an empty sound with a nice orange flag. And that's it. But with God in our midst, the best is yet to come. With God in our midst, there's a calling upon each one of your lives that's irrevocable. There's a calling upon us as a congregation, as congregations, to reach all of those 196 nations of the world. We're getting there. That's why we believe the Lord, to go and make disciples wherever the Lord takes us. There where you're working, at your school, in your family. And I want to just leave this with you, ask you to stand with me as we're going to sing this song just as a declaration over your life. And I want you in your heart. And I just felt that for some of us, the Lord is wanting to invite you just to take a step closer. You've been part of this congregation in a sense of coming to these services. And we want to extend an open invitation to you to come as long as you want. To come. Enjoy the coffee, enjoy the fellowship, then welcome you with us. But I want to extend another invitation to you, and that is that the Lord calls you to partner with us to advance His kingdom, to make disciples, to raise up leaders, to plant churches in the way that God has called you to do it. And the way I'm doing it will be different to your way. For you, the Lord might call you to disciple your department at work. Teach them godly principles of dealing with one another. What happens when we pray for each other? What happens when we believe in one another, when we speak destiny over each other? But there's an anointing God is wanting to release over our lives. So I want us just to close our eyes. Father, I thank you that you have brought us to this place and to such a time as this. We are so thankful, God. We're hearing so many stories of what you are doing. And we are thankful that you have put us together as a family. So many beautiful things that are happening in our midst, Lord, as you are growing us and as you are taking us. And we want to acknowledge that. this morning that you are with us as Shofar Summers of the West, and you are with us as Shofar. We want to thank you that you have given us that name, God. It comes from you. We acknowledge that. And we thank you for it, that you have called us, Lord, to advance your kingdom. You have called us to be in awe of you, the mighty one in our midst, the one who is mighty to save. You have called us to worship you. You have called us to live consecrated lives, not through our own effort and our own striving, but through the power of your grace. You have called us, God, to leave the old behind, to reach forward to your destiny, God, and to look towards the harvest field. We thank you for that call. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you will, through the power of your Spirit, come and silence every other call, every other voice of condemnation and accusation against individuals here as well as against this church in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over the voice of the accuser this morning in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us upon the cross, that you took every accusation and you nailed it to the cross. You stripped it of its power. You became a curse for us. You were punished for us. We acknowledge, God, our imperfections. We acknowledge, God, that we are not perfect and we make many mistakes. But we thank you that it is because of your cross, Jesus, that we can have boldness in your presence. We thank you that you have called us to make a difference, to reach young and old, God, not in our own strength, not because we're wonderful, because we have wonderful programs, but because the mighty one inside of us, he is mighty to save. He is wonderful. He is beyond comprehension. He is the morning star. He's the Ancient of Days. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the bread of life. He's the rose of Sharon. He's our beginning and he's our end. He is the one who sees the end from the beginning. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the one that sanctifies us. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's our sanctification and he's our righteousness. And we worship you for that, God. We thank you that we can look away from every other voice wanting to intimidate us through our sin and through our flesh. I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out communion for us. And I want you just to make a peace this morning. And some of you, the Lord is saying, accept the power of my blood. Accept who I call you to be. I'm the lifter of your head. I want you to know that there's the power of the resurrection inside of you. That I've called you. And as Theo said this morning, because you are mine, I am well pleased with you. More than that, God says, I'm singing over you. I'm rejoicing over you. You bring a smile to my face when I think of you. I get excited. That's what the word says. Not Heinrich. God says, I get excited over you. I sing over you. I rejoice over you. I sing a song over you. So God, we thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. Yahweh, Yeshua, Emmanuel, God who saves. Thank you, Lord of this church. We bring, God, before you every broken thing. Everything that feels, God, as if it's beyond your redemption. We bring that to you. And we thank you that you are able to save. While you're waiting for the communion, and if you have it already, won't you just bring those pieces in your heart before the Lord this morning? Just those things that feel as if, oh, this feels as if it's not part of God's salvation story. This bone just feels as if God cannot do something beautiful with it. I will forever be stuck going around this thing over and over again. It's like I'm being drawn to it. The bad news is you can't change yourself. The good news is that Jesus can. The great news is that you don't even have to be changed before he rejoices over you. The great news is that his blood is enough for you. It's not his blood and your efforts. It's his blood. It's enough for you.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can just exalt you this morning. Find our joy. Find our comfort, God, in you. He's always the same. Always faithful. You never change, God. And thank you for that, God. In the midst of all the changes in this world, you are faithful and you are constant, that you are our anchor. You are our foundation, Jesus. You are the bright morning star, God. And we can look to you. We thank you for the power of the cross of Jesus this morning. We thank you, God, for
communion, that you have given us the privilege, Lord, to be part of your body. That we can be in community with you and be in community with one another. Thank you that your body was broken so that we can be made whole in our relationship with you and our relationships with one another. We thank you, God, that you have placed us within this local part of your body. We thank you, Father, for the many amazing churches in this town, Father, and in our nation. We thank you, God, for the many amazing men and women of God all across our nation, all across the world, who love the Lord Jesus Christ passionately. We're not part of Shofar, we're part of other bodies, Lord God, other local families, and they love you, and we say, God, we honor them. We thank you for the churches being planted here in Somerset West by other churches, God. Thank you for advancing your kingdom through them. Thank you for everyone who says that we want to put our hands to the plow. We want to see the kingdom come. We pray your blessing upon every church that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. That you would bless them with buildings, Lord God, in which they can be able to look after the poor and look after the widows and be able, God, to disciple people. We pray you bless them with salvations. Bless them with godly leaders, God. But Father, we thank you for this house that you have given us. That you have called us and you have called us together. And as we eat this morning, God, we thank you that we can eat, Lord God, to community. Thank you, Lord, that you are the great healer. Let's eat together. Worship you, God. Thank you, Lord, that I can just speak healing, Father, over relationships here. Over hearts, Lord, that are carrying wounds, Lord, that you come and through your presence this morning, God, you come and you bring healing that only you can bring. Thank you for reconciliation, Father, between husband and wife, parent and child, between brothers and sisters. Thank you that you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we can walk in that, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to save your people from their sins. We know that sin separates us from you. Sin always leads to death. But thank you that you died for us so that we could have life. You died for us so we don't have to carry the penalty of our sins. We acknowledge the power of the blood of Jesus. And we bring to you every broken piece of our hearts, every bit of flesh, everything, God, that we want to distract from your glory. Those things the devil uses against us to intimidate us, we bring that to the power of the cross this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you have replaced our shame, Lord God, with your righteousness. And this morning we honor you for the blood of Jesus. Let's drink together. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you will be faithful to finish the work you've started in our lives. Thank you that as we leave from here, God, we will hear the call of the shofar. The call, God, to just come to you. Lay our burdens at your feet and to receive from you times of refreshing. The call, Lord God, to have your kingdom advance in us and through our lives. The call, God, to know that you have called us to live by faith. A people, Lord God, who trust God, who take to you upon your word. Thank you that you have called us to live holy lives unto you. Lives that are consecrated to you and that you give us the power to do so. You've called us to live free from the power of guilt and condemnation. To live in freedom, God, to run with freedom into the sun. And thank you, Lord, that we can respond to that call to worship you. So we would come together this afternoon, God, to just exalt you. And there where we go into this week, that we will lift up the name of Jesus. That we would lift up your name, God. We will praise you where we're driving, wherever we go. We thank you for being with us and for being the mighty one in our midst. In the wonderful name of Jesus. If you need prayer, we're going to be available just to pray with you. I want to encourage you just to open up your ears. If you're going to worship the Lord, you're welcome to file out then quietly. But I believe that for some of you, the Lord is wanting to stir a call in your heart that he's calling you to. And if you hear that call, if the Lord has called you, maybe it's a call to repentance again. Maybe it's a call to living a holy life. Maybe it's a call to lay down your finances for his purpose. Maybe it's a call to the mission field that might be your accounting job or your lawyer's practice, whatever it is. That you would come and you would respond to that call. Maybe it's a call to walk closer with Jesus in intimacy with him. To walk away from your condemnation. To walk away from the excuses why you're not worshiping God. Just come. Just respond to him as we would continue to worship the Lord. May he bless you abundantly. May his face shine upon you. Thank you for being part of this family. Thank you for making all of this possible. Thank you to the PowerPoint people. Thank you to the sound people. Thank you to the guys setting up the mother's room, packing out the chairs. Thank you so much for making this possible. Thank you for you guys who work so hard behind the scenes to make this an awesome, wonderful, beautiful part of the body of Christ. Thank you to the car guards. Thank you to the guys who lock and unlock. You're amazing. We love you and we couldn't do this without you. May the Lord bless you and may his shofar ring in your ears. Wherever you go, know this call of love is yours. You can respond to that. Lord bless you. Thank you, band. Just one more.